little bit of the Beatles. How do you like that, huh? That'll wake you up on a Monday morning. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Boy, do I remember the Beatles as a boy in high school. And along with my buddy, Tom Conley, is joining us here. We thank him and we thank you for joining us on this Monday, July the 12th already. Month is moving along, is it not? We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about what caused last year's spike in violent crime, a spike that has continued this year, as you know, especially homicides. Why? Why? Is there a simple answer to it? We're going to find out. So stay tuned for Zach Smith. Also, the vote is in for the favorite presidential candidate of that CPAC convention in Dallas. Who'd they vote for? Who came in second? And what was the effect of the Donald Trump presence there over the weekend? We're going to get some thoughts about these and other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And the largest teachers union in America, the biggest one, says critical race theory is reasonable and appropriate for kids. We are going to talk about that as well a little bit later, so stay tuned for that. And in our Ultimate Top 10, those of you who have been following us, we have been giving you the strangest town names in every state. We are finally going to get to the last 10 states in the union, and we've been going alphabetically. The final 10. All right. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call for your appointment. You got to do that first. They're busy. They're good. So when you go in, you're going to be able to get your haircut right away. 727-733-3773. By the way, you can take your pick. They got the best haircutters in the business there. Great haircut, great price. And while we're on plugging things, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater. Paul and Tracy Allen, don't they do a wonderful job? And by the way, they provide wonderful donuts. I have to give them credit. I had a delicious donut, Tom. You didn't have one, Tom.
No, not yet.
You didn't have one, Tom. I want you to have a donut.
Paul was kind enough to leave them home, and I know he's turning up the radio, he said, whenever you mention his name.
Well, of course, that's why we're doing it now, because I want him to bring more donuts. He also was good enough to put my banner up behind me. I got to give him credit. He must think I'm feeble. You know, now that I think about it, maybe that's a backhanded compliment. I don't know. Anyway, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., Good Morning Clearwater. Wait, start your day with those guys. You'll love them, Paul and Tracy Allen. All right. Well, a lot going on. I guess the biggest thing right now might be Cuba. Have you been following what's going on there in Cuba? All of a sudden, protests? Have you ever heard about protests under Castro for all these generations? Anti-government protests broke out yesterday in Cuba. They're demanding freedom in Cuba. Now, none of us, hardly any of us, have gone to Cuba since 1959, correct? You know they're still driving cars that were manufactured in the 50s? Can you believe it? That's what communism does for you. That's what communism does for you. I mean, we are so lucky to be living here. And you want to know why Cubans in Florida in particular, the Cuban population, hate communism? Because they have personally felt it. They have personally experienced communism, or their parents did, or their parents' parents did. So they have a direct link to what communism will do to you. So here we are. These protests broke out yesterday in Cuba, demanding freedom, calling for the disbandment of their dictatorship. And in the meantime, have you heard anything from Bernie Sanders about this recently? Not a peep. He's not talking about it. Neither are any of the far lefties in Congress that I know of that are talking about it. Maybe there's a couple of them that have talked about it because they've been presented with a question and they're forced to talk about it. But anyway, most outspoken, self-professed democratic socialists appear to be in lockstep by not acknowledging what's going on in Cuba right now. Now, people have tried to contact Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Bernie Sanders. No response. Thousands of Cubans marched on Havana's Malecón Promenade and elsewhere to protest food shortages, high prices, the virus outbreak. And so there you go. Now they're protesting 62 years of socialism. And here's Rubio on a tweet. He says, people in Cuba protesting 62 years of socialism, lies, tyranny, misery. You know, it's just amazing that we don't understand the concept of Marxism and socialism. You know, it sounds nice. From each according to their abilities, to each according to their needs. It sounds nice, doesn't it? Let's work together to help those that need this. Here's the problem. The people that are getting in that philosophy generally are not producing, or not producing as much. And that's what happens. So people turn on each other. It happens in every place they've ever tried it. They may start out with the right feeling about it, an honest, sincere feeling about helping everybody in a communal way. But a communal approach does not work, because there are always people in the commune that will not do their fair share. The idea is that everybody has talents, and so they employ their talents, and the other people have different talents, and somehow it all comes together in a beautiful rainbow. It never works that way in communism. It's never worked that way. And guess who gets rich in communism? You know, Castro became a multimillionaire. Putin, he's probably a couple of time billionaire. All of these people that run the countries in a communist regime are the ones that make the money. And then their underlings get money, right? That's what happens. So Cuba, maybe it'll finally become free just because of the inner efforts of these people in Cuba. I'm hoping so. You know, they're rising up. We'll see if they are smashed down. But it's very interesting. We can keep an eye on Cuba. All right, let us take our break. When we come back, we're going to change gears. Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us. We're going to talk about what caused last year's spike in violent crime, especially homicides.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, Before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for joining us. Delighted to have back Zach Smith. He is a legal fellow at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk a little bit about what caused last year's increase or spike in violent crime, especially in homicides. And it's something that, by the way, has continued into this year. Zach, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
This is such an important and interesting topic. And everybody's got these reasons why we have more shootings and more homicides and these high increases in cities like Chicago and Seattle and Minneapolis and all of these others, and New York. But you are actually looking at, I guess it's a report by a law professor at Utah University, Paul Cassell, is that right?
Yeah, Paul Cassell, he's a very well-respected scholar, a former federal judge, and he's written a lot on crime issues, victims' rights issues, and he's released a report basically studying this effect, and in large part saying, look, you know, the defund the police movement, the demonization of our law enforcement officers that we've seen over the past year and a half or so, it's having an impact. And you know, I don't know if you remember several years ago, Ferguson, Missouri. After that, we talked about the Ferguson effect, where law enforcement officers were afraid to do their jobs for fear of either going viral on social media or getting backlash from their local communities or even prosecuted for actions taken during the job. Paul Cassell looked and said, look, that trend has literally been exacerbated in the wake of George Floyd's death. And this Ferguson on steroids is what he's calling the Minneapolis.
Oh, see. Well, so are you saying that police are just letting go in these different cities and they're not patrolling the neighborhoods like they used to, or they're turning the other way when they see some crime? What is that kind of the idea? It's just that the police now are so afraid to do anything and make an intervention? Is that the reason for the homicidal increase?
Well, 2 points to that, Paul. First, you know, unfortunately, many city police officers not only are not getting the moral support they need, they're not getting the resources they need to do their jobs. In many of these left-leaning cities, we've seen calls to defund the police department budgets in places like Seattle being slashed significantly. And so there just aren't as many officers on the street who are able to do their job and enforce the laws. The second thing to keep in mind is that in many of these cities, there are George Soros-backed rogue prosecutors who are refusing to enforce the laws, refusing to prosecute crimes, even if police officers make arrests and bring suspects and evidence to them. And so when you combine both of those factors, the decrease in police budgets, the decrease in officers, and the unwillingness of rogue prosecutors in many of these cities to do their jobs and prosecute crimes, you know, it's really the perfect storm for the violent crimes that we're currently seeing.
Now, most of the homicides and gun violence is taking place in the inner cities. And generally, with all due respect, mostly it's black young men. Is it not? Isn't that what most of it is? Maybe 70% of all the crime when we talk about homicides? I may be off a little bit on the numbers, but we're going into inner cities, and when we go into inner cities, it's usually in black neighborhoods, to some extent in Hispanic neighborhoods too. But it's it's poverty area inner cities. It's caused by unemployed young black males with guns. And they, a lot of them are in gangs, in clubs, whatever you want to call, in certain organizations. So isn't that really where all of this is occurring? And it's not just, you know, last year and this year. It's been going on for my lifetime, basically, you know, forever.
That's the
go ahead.
That's the dirty secret nobody wants to
talk about it.
It's
Yeah.
I'm here. Let's do it.
Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking. Go. If you're born in poverty, if you don't have a father in the house, in other words, you don't have a family unit, if you're not going to a school that will educate you or see to it that you get your education, what are your chances of making something of yourself? They're low. They're low. And if that's the environment that you are in, do you not tend to gravitate towards others that are having the same problems in their households, in their families, with their parents, or lack thereof? So they get together out on the street. This is what happens. So why don't we start realizing that and start making sure that the basic family unit, the basic family unit is the thing that we have. That's the answer, in my opinion. You go ahead.
No, listen. Whenever the dirty secret that nobody except for us really wants to talk about is that it's often the poorest members of the community who are disproportionately affected by any increase in crime, especially spikes in violent crime. And so kind of the sick irony of many of these policies that are supposedly designed to help minority communities, designed to help the poorest communities in these cities, is that they actually backfire and end up harming them far more than they help them. You know, one of the things that's been talked about recently is the so-called victimless crime, petty theft, prostitution, simple possession of drugs. And we've heard a push from rogue prosecutors, other left-leaning liberals saying, look, these don't hurt anyone. We don't need to arrest for them. We don't need to prosecute them. But again, that's just not true. Look at what's happening in San Francisco. 17 Walgreens are leaving the city. Targets are closing early because they cannot bear the cost of theft anymore. And which communities are hit hardest by those establishments leaving? It's the poorest communities because they do not have as ready access to other sources for those materials and goods that those stores, you know, are taking away.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Zach Smith, legal fellow at the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about the spike in violent crime last year and, of course, this year. I mean, the numbers in some of these cities, Zach, are going completely bonkers. So I know, and we've been talking about the ongoing issue in inner cities, lack of family units and education, but specifically the last couple of years, the police are letting go. Remember when Giuliani became the mayor of the city of New York, and he brought in that police commissioner, and they were stopping. They were not allowing even small crimes to occur, and because they had stopped the small crimes, the large crimes did not occur. And yet here in San Francisco, they're letting these things that are small occur, but then they're leading to these things where people are wandering into stores and just stealing things and walking out, and nothing's happening to them.
Well, the other part of this we have to make a connection to is the crisis at the southern border. If you listen to what experts are saying, if you listen to what Biden's own FBI director is saying, there's a crisis there, and you're seeing unprecedented numbers of illegal narcotics coming across the border, including very powerful, potent narcotics like fentanyl. You're seeing increased gang activity at the southern border, and including things like human trafficking. And anyone who's worked in law enforcement or in a prosecutor's office will tell you that it's only a matter of time until those things work their way from the southern border to cities across our country. And so that's another aspect that we have to keep in mind. The crisis at the southern border is also tied to this spike in violent crime that we're seeing across the country as well.
Oh, that's an interesting point. So the drugs that are slipping into some of these cities and getting involved in the drug sales and usage and everything, I wonder what percentage, speaking of that, of these crimes, these violent crimes in the inner cities, are committed by somebody that indeed is under the influence of drugs. I guess there's no real way of knowing, right?
Well, it's hard to say if they were under the influence, but look, a lot of gang activity is tied to drug trafficking. And then there are also, you know, related crimes that come along with the drug trade. It's just an inherently dangerous, violent trade. that unfortunately it takes its toll in human lives.
Yeah. So does Paul Cassell, or is there a solution to this? I mean, we all are talking about it, but frankly, in a couple of years, are things going to get any better, do you think? I mean, really, in this ongoing issue with inner city violence in particular. I mean, we've been talking about this for generations, but nobody is really, everybody is afraid to do anything, to really do anything for fear, I guess, of offending a certain group of people.
Well, I think before we can talk about ways to, you know, lower the crime rate even further, we have to do something to combat this spike in violent crime that we're seeing in cities across the country. And a great place to start is for prosecutors in those cities to start enforcing the laws on the books, stop revolving door bail policies, and hold criminals accountable when they commit crimes. And if we see that, police officers will be able to do their jobs, make sure that when they bring cases to prosecutors, they're prosecuted, and that would be an easy first step.
Oh, that's a very good point. Yeah, we've been releasing people without bail in some cases, right? Without bond, I mean. Without posting bond, and we're releasing them back into the streets and hoping they'll show up, right?
That's absolutely right. And not only are we hoping they show up while some of these individuals have been released, they've committed other violent crimes, including, for instance, in Philadelphia, the murder of a police officer. So this is a very, very serious issue that prosecutors in these cities have to start taking seriously.
Let's step back for a moment. I'm going to ask you an interesting question, Zach. I don't know if there's really an answer. Why do you think we are so soft on things these days in general? I mean, not just crime. It seems like we've become more, I don't know, what's the word? We're letting go. It's kind of like the police letting go of their jobs. It's like we're all letting go of responsibility. We're letting go of watching over. I don't know. There's just something about the whole process in this country. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I'm not formulating the words correctly here, but it just seems... Go ahead.
Well, I can tell you specifically, at least in the prosecutorial space in many of these cities, why we're seeing the prosecutors adopting these policies. Unfortunately, this is a national movement that's being backed by George Soros and other left-leaning billionaires who have a fundamentally different conception of the criminal justice system, a fundamentally different idea.
What is their idea? What is the Soros idea, do you think? The Soros idea is to bring chaos so that a socialistic approach will, you know, out of the chaos, socialism will flourish? What do you think is his reasoning for funding all of this kind of thing?
That's certainly been the result of these policies, is chaos, the spike in violent crime we're seeing. But, you know, one of the talking points we've heard over and over from these Soros-backed groups is that our criminal justice system is fundamentally racist.
Oh, okay.
And they're seeking to fundamentally transform it in a social justice type sense, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to fundamentally transform our criminal justice system. And again, the practical effect of that is that criminals just aren't being held accountable, and our communities are being made less safe.
It's a sad scenario right now. Well, you know, the fact that people are talking about it, maybe we're going to take back control. That's what we can hope for. Zach, thank you so much. It was a real pleasure talking with you. You made some excellent points, and we look forward to having you on again.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me on.
All righty. Sure. Zach Smith, Heritage Foundation. Hey, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the vote is in for the favorite presidential candidate at that CPAC conference in Dallas, Texas. We're going to get some thoughts on that, a few other things, from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
The This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here. Freedom Works is here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. And by the way, we've got a new website. Yeah, finally, right? Same. You type in the same thing, ourfreedomworks.com. But we got a new website. And you still get your calendar of who we're going to have on and what the topic will be. You still have the podcast button. Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. We always are appreciative of that. So away you go. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, now, this is a bleak forecast by economists. Americans should brace themselves for several years of higher inflation than they have seen in decades, according to economists who expect the post-pandemic economic recovery to fuel brisk price increases for a while. Economists were surveyed by the Wall Street Journal, and they raised their forecasts of how high inflation's going to go compared to previous expectations. They particularly talk about the hike in food and energy prices. They're going to be up about 3+% in the fourth quarter of this year. So, well, we already see that, don't we? I mean, we're even here down in Tampa where we have pretty good energy prices. Gas prices, isn't it around $3 now, Tom? Something like that. We're getting close to $3. All right. Donald Trump was at the Dallas CPAC convention. Remember they had one in Orlando? Well, they had another one in Dallas. And guess what? No surprise, he easily won their presidential preference poll for 2024. He got 70% of the ballots. In an anonymous straw poll, well, you know, they're all very conservative over there. He got 55% over in Orlando, by the way. Our buddy Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, he got 21%. I think he got a higher percentage in Orlando, and that's not surprising. But anyway, hey, we got the proprietor of the barber poll. He's a great, great Trump believer, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, did you watch any of the Trump speech? I guess it was.
I watched a little bit of it, Paul.
Yeah,
it's your business.
Yeah, he looks like he's in fine shape, doesn't he? Full of energy again.
Well, you know, Paul, you were talking about inflation when you first came on here. Simple answer, Fed Ed is Democrats. There's Democrats, there's inflation.
Big time spending, right?
Yeah, we got that expected. Trump run the straw poll. They said, if Trump wasn't involved, Ron DeSantis would have had 68%. But with Trump involved, Trump got 72%, Ron DeSantis 28%.
Yeah, Trump was easily the favorite in the Dallas.
Well, you know, you can see why. Listen to him speak.
Of course.
He's saying what it is. The guy basically is a president right now. You can tell by the way he talks, because put Biden up next to him. What's he talking about?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, I agree with you. The question, of course, is whether or not, you know, Trump is beloved in the conservative CPAC people. They love him. And they love the way he talks. They love what he has to say. I think there is that kind, not on that level, because they don't know him as well. But Ron DeSantis, the more you know about Ron DeSantis, boy, the more you love him. So he's still making a name for himself outside of Florida. But, you know, I still don't know whether Donald Trump wants to run. My impression is he does.
No, no question about it.
Okay.
He's taking control as it is, Paul, already. You know what I mean? And he'll run again. And he should basically win with a landslide like he did the last election.
Yeah.
Except people are going to be watching the polls a little bit better this time.
I think so. Okay. And by the way, nobody knows who's going to be the Democrat. I don't think they want Kamala Harris. And Joe Biden at that point will be, you know, drooling all over his bib in some nursing home, won't he?
Yeah, he's already doing that now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, we don't know who they're going to nominate for the Democrats, you know?
Well, they have nobody. Look, they put the best out that they had already.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what's going on with that.
Hey, you might...
They're making the base for the Republican. Actually, I don't think it could be Bo Peep running as a Republican. I don't think it'd beat anybody they put up.
Yeah, you could be right. By the way, down the list after Trump and DeSantis in the straw poll, Mike Pompeo, 5%. Donald Trump Jr. and Ted Cruz each got 4%. Kristi Noem, you know her? She's the South Dakota governor. She got 3%. Nobody else got more than 2%. So there you go.
This morning I was listening to Dr. Susan McManus.
Okay.
And, you know, she's predicting that the gubernatorial election is going to be very, very close, just like it was in 2018.
Gubernatorial here in Florida?
Yeah, here in Florida. I can't see that happening.
No, I can't either. I mean, who is it?
I'm believing Dr. Susan McManus is a big-time liberal.
Yeah, I don't know her, if you want to know the truth. I don't know who she is.
Oh, she's heavy duty. She's been talking Florida politics for years and years in 97.
Okay. I've heard her name, but I just didn't...
she's predicting it's going to be a very, very tight race in Florida for the governor.
Oh, who the heck? First of all, who do they got? They got Charlie Crist, and they got that former Orlando police woman, the black woman?
And Nikki Refried Beans.
Okay.
She's going down the tubes already.
Yeah.
She can't keep her finances straight.
Yeah, so, I mean, who's going to... Look, I would be shocked. I think it would be... I don't think there'll be any contest.
Maybe they'll bring Andrew Gillum back.
Now, that'll be a contest.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're liable to do. Just because he had popularity and notoriety, they might put him in there.
Where is he? Is he still in jail?
No. He went through rehab and everything else, and he's out, but he's very, very quiet. I don't think his wife is letting him speak too much.
No, I wouldn't let him speak at all if I were his wife. So we were talking earlier also, Andrew, I wanted to get your thought. You know what's going on in Cuba right now, right?
Oh, unbelievable.
Isn't that something? Isn't that the perfect example of why socialism, communism, Marxism, you name it, ism, why none of that stuff works? We got it right. Just look 80 miles or 90 miles south of our of Florida, and there's your answer to what happens when you have a country or a community that is run.
They're trying to get some responses from Bernie Sanders and AOC, but they're not answering their phones.
Of course not. Of course not. Bernie Sanders, what's he going to say? What excuse will he come up with, you know?
You know, he's right there behind Biden. I don't think he's got too much to say about nothing no more.
I don't know. I haven't heard much from him recently.
No, ever since they had those pictures of him with his gloves on and stuff.
Do you think maybe
he's in hiding, too.
Have they put him in the closet? Is he in a wheelchair in the closet?
In his basement.
Okay. Hey, that reminds me of the movie Psycho. You ever see the movie Psycho?
Oh, years ago.
When the lady runs downstairs and thinks there's the mother of the motel operator, and she's sitting in a wheelchair with her back to the camera. Remember that? I can see them coming down to find Bernie and turning the wheelchair around. Well, you have to have seen the movie to appreciate this visual I'm trying to present. Anyway, you know, people talk about how great socialism is, how we've got to take money away from the big timers, you know?
You know, people,
and redistribute it to these other people because the capitalists are so, they're so terrible. They're so greedy. So go down to Cuba and you'll see exactly what happens when you put that into practice.
No, we should send a few of these socialists. We should send a whole group of these teenagers down to Cuba that are protesting for socialism. Let them go there and live for a month.
Yeah. You know, it would be great if we were allowed entry into Cuba. I would take every grade school class, maybe the sixth or seventh grade, where they can appreciate, and take them down to Cuba and spend a couple of days there walking around to see what life is like under communism and socialism.
Did you see them getting one of those 1950 cars?
Yes, exactly.
Those rolled down to give them cool air.
It's amazing.
Air conditioning.
I got to give them credit. I'm surprised they can even run.
No, they got different motors in them. They put lawnmower engines in them and everything.
No, it's amazing. There is not a car over the age of 1959, is that right?
That's right.
That's amazing. You know what? Now that I think about it, if you can keep your 50s car in shape, you can make a lot of money if you brought it over here.
Well, there's no question. People just want the bodies of them to rebuild.
I guess.
That'll be a market in itself if they free up Cuba.
Yeah. So how are things going? It seems like people are finally... I don't know, especially here in Florida, I don't even think about a mask anymore. The only time I think about even putting a mask on is if I have to go into the doctor's office.
Yep, they still making you wear one there.
They do, yes. And I understand that. I understand that. People are a little, you know, some people might be, they're you know what I mean, their system might be a little more fragile.
This is true. That's why they're at the doctor's.
That's correct. But other than that, it seems like things are going well, and they're finally opening up some of these other places.
They're talking about now, Pfizer says you might have to have the booster.
Yep.
Making billions of dollars here. Of course you need a booster.
Yeah. There's money to be made.
Billions of dollars.
There's money to be made. Have we gotten any further in discovering whether or not the Wuhan lab had anything to do with that virus?
We haven't heard anything about that lately, Paul. They're kind of keeping that quiet.
Okay. And also, when in the heck are we going to finish the vote count in Maricopa County, Arizona, the audit?
From what I understand, they're not releasing the servers or something.
They're not releasing the servers.
That's what I understand. Now, why, if you had nothing to hide, they're saying, oh, if a third party touches these things, we can't use them no more because they could be compromised. They've been compromised already.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard a word about it. That's what I'm wondering, why it's taking so long. You would think that it's just one county. It's not like we're doing the whole state, right?
No, but, you know, from what I understand, I know you and I talked about this before, but there's like 2.2 million votes, Paul.
Yeah, you're right. It's the biggest county in Arizona,
yeah,
right?
We didn't think it was that big, but
well, it is.
That's a lot of votes.
No, it is. I agree with that. That's true. We got Phoenix in there and all that, but even then.
They can verify it all if they get those servers, but they won't release them.
Yeah.
Attorney General there, I guess, is fighting with them. Do they want to release them? What are you hiding?
I don't know. It seems to me that there should be an audit of every state. Now, you know, there's got to be a quick way of doing it. I don't know.
I could tell you that Trump probably won Pennsylvania with no problem, too. You know why? Because Joe Biden is going up there to talk about no voter fraud in Pennsylvania.
Ah, okay.
So that's telling me right there. Where are you going there? If you people got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
Listen, let them count those votes and show how much you really won by.
By the time we got through counting all of this and getting all the audits, by the way, it's going to be time for the 24 election anyway.
It probably. I still want to see them come out and showing how they lied and cheated everybody.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
To come out.
I think we need to make sure of our voting integrity anyway. Andrew, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us this morning. And I am looking forward, as always, to being talking with you again tomorrow.
You got it, buddy. Be good.
All right, sir. Bye-bye. Andrew the Master Barber. There he goes. All right. We're going to take our break. And Among other things, the largest teachers union in America says critical race theory is reasonable and appropriate for kids. We're going to talk about that on the other side.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, tip of the hat to Tom Conley doing a wonderful job here for me. In the absence of Big Ed. Thank you, Tom. By the way, Tom, you and I were talking a little bit about that. To me, it's amazing. Richard Branson going off into space in what looks like it looks like a jet plane, I guess, but the process was that the plane was taken to a certain altitude, and then I guess, did you say it was released and then it went higher and it got out of our atmosphere? Is that how that worked?
It was released and then the rocket took it higher.
Ah, I see. And then it came back down. It was up there for a while. Came back down. Did he go quite a distance? Did he circumnavigate, or how far did he go up in the...
I'm not really sure. I just saw that, you know, it went up and pretty much came back down.
It came back down, yeah, I think you're right. And then it makes a beautiful landing on a runway, just like an airplane. Yeah, I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing. And it also, I'm delighted to see, it's the private sector that's doing this, right? And the competition. We're talking about Richard Branson... And what's his name from, is it Jeff Bezos or somebody?
Correct.
Yeah, they're both into it. And you know, out of competition, we get, huh?
And you got Elon Musk, too.
And Musk. So I love it. That's competition. That's what we want to see. All right. So the largest teachers union in the country is the National Education Association, NEA. By the way, when I was a kid, they would bring a projector into the classroom and they would show films made by the NEA. You know, I remember that's where I first heard about NEA, National Education Association. And they were very good films. They were very instructive, usually. But we're talking a long time back. Now, the NEA has moved to undermine the left-wing talking point that critical race theory is not taught to children. They are voting to promote it, and they say it is reasonable and appropriate to use critical race theory in social studies classes. They have approved of a plan to publicize CRT, critical race theory, and dedicate a team of staffers to assist union members looking to use it in their classrooms. Why are we using a theory to begin with? Why don't we teach a fact? A theory is somebody's idea of what it should be or was. Facts are what really did happen. There's a little bit of a difference. So this is kind of, in my opinion, a very strange and maybe a little bit scary thing. And should we be teaching a theory about whites dominating blacks to young kids that, first of all, most of them don't even know about discrimination? You know what I'm talking about? Early grade schoolers that are, why are we teaching this kind of separation philosophy? I don't think it's good. Now, we should never ignore what happened in our country. And as you get older in classes, you absolutely need to be taught about slavery and what happened in this country. Absolutely. You need to know about it. You need to know what terrible things were occurring to the black population back then. There's no question about it. But to continue to assert that there needs to be some sort of reparation or payback, or that we are still suppressing certain groups of people that way, that's just not true. Is there racism? There's going to be racism forever as long as the human condition exists. There'll be some sort of amounts of racism. But our country is one of the pinnacles for freedom for everybody. That's why everybody wants to come to our country, because of how free we are. Why the heck does everybody want to come to the United States if things are so bad here and people, certain people are oppressed? The answer is because they're not being oppressed, that they're allowed to be free in this country. That's why everybody wants to come here first. It's not perfect. No, it never will be. But people believe here is the place to be. And for quite a long time, we've been, you know, we've been the place. So I don't know how long this whole CRT thing is going to last. I suspect it'll be here for a little bit of time. But this is, again, who is pushing this, right? It's always an interesting thing to see about trying to divide people. And this is a divisive topic. It really is. So the question is, why do people want to talk about these things that are so divisive? This is why I always worry about socialists and Marxists. Divide and conquer is their philosophy, you know? First, you got to get people opposing each other before you, and creating a chaos and a house divided against itself philosophy before you can actually come in and take over. That's the way it goes. That's the way it went in Russia and all of these other countries where they introduced communism. There was one group that opposed the other group, and they clashed and went against each other. It's a scary thing. It really is. All right. Anyway, it is time for our top 10. And Tom, you don't know this, but we have been doing the top 10 strangest towns in every state. And we've done 40 of the states. We got the last 10 alphabetically left. So we're going to do them. We're going to start with South Dakota and go all the way through to West Virginia. These are the last 10. So here we go, Tom. Drum roll for South Dakota. Here's the strangest town in South Dakota. Plenty Bears. Plenty Bears. P-L-E-N-T-Y and then B-E-A-R-S. Plenty Bears. Do you think there is in South Dakota? Probably so, right? All right. Drum roll for Tennessee. Smart. With two T's. Smart. Must be a guy or a woman named Smart that, you know what I mean. Drum roll for Texas. Ding dong. D-I-N-G-D-O-N-G. Two words. Ding dong, Texas. I live in Ding Dong. Oh, well, that's too bad. All right. Drum roll for Utah. Nibley. Nibley, N-I-B-L-E-Y, Nibley, Utah. That's got to be somebody's name, don't you think? Yeah, all right. Drum roll for Vermont. Hey, by the way, you're very quick on the drum roll. You got a nitchy finger. You're very quick. You're quicker than Ed is. All right. Where were we? Vermont. It's Mosquitoville. Oh, my God. Would you live there in Mosquitoville, Vermont? No, thank you. I wonder if it really... It must be. It must be that there are... is that a place like in July that mosquitoes are about as big as... You know what I mean? Okay. That you could put a saddle on one and ride it around the room? Drum roll for Virginia. Fries. F-R-I-E-S. I'll take fries with that whatever in Virginia. Okay, drum roll for Washington. Big Bottom, Washington. Big Bottom. Uh-huh. Well, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? All right. Tom, we have come to the final, and I think, no, I haven't. What am I talking about? I got a couple more. You know why I forgot? It's on the other side. I have two more states. Okay, drum roll for West Virginia. Uh-oh, I don't know if I should say this one, but I will. Booger Hole. Booger Hole, West Virginia. Now, that might take the cake right there. That might, of all the ones that I've ever seen, that one might be it. All right. Drum roll for Wisconsin. Chili. C-H-I-L-I. Not chili, although it can be in Wisconsin. Chili. I-L-L-E-Y. This is the food. Chili, Wisconsin. I never knew. And I went to school there. All right. Finally, this is the 50th state, Tom, that we have done. It's the final state alphabetically. By the way, do you know what the final alphabetical state is? What's the last state alphabetically? Wyoming. Did you say that? Very good. It is. Wyoming is the final one. All right, drum roll for Wyoming. Chugwater. Chugwater. C-H-U-G-W-A-T-E-R. All right, so I'm going back here. I'm going to tell you, just because we have a few moments left here, Tom, that Florida, our home state, Spuds,
I don't know where that is.
I don't either.
What was New Mexico?
New Mexico was Pie Town. P-I-E, separate word, T-O-W-N.
Because I saw where they took off with Branson was called Truth or Consequences.
Oh, yeah, that could be one, too, Truth or Consequences. Did you know, do you remember the show, Truth or Consequences? I think it came from there. I wonder if that's the way it was, why they got that name. I'll never know. All right. Anyway, we thank you so very much for being with us, and I want to thank Tom Connolly for filling in for Big Ed. We will be back again tomorrow, Tuesday, but please remember, always remember, freedom works.
Well, two men took to fighting. They went and pulled down from the floor. Leroy looked like a jigsaw puzzle with a couple of pieces gone. Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole damn town. Badder than old King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen